Amazing love, how can it be? Don't you love those worship songs? Wow. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? If you don't have a Bible, please pick one up from the pew in front of you or behind you and read along with us this morning. We do thank God for all the visitors that are here today, and it's such a blessing that when people come and they're visiting, to know that you're looking for church fellowship, you're not taking a vacation from God, because God doesn't take a vacation from us, right? How many are glad of that? We're going to start reading here this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. We're going to be receiving communion in just a little bit, and we're going to be looking at the body of Christ. It says here, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose." That's an important verse to underline in your Bible. "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we deem less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body," there it is again, "giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." That verse is packed with insight and teaching for us, much more than we have time this morning in our short time together. But to get some of you up to speed with what we've been doing here, just a moment of a brief summary. We've been going through in this church for the last year and a half, studying the foundations of our faith. The Bible says in Psalm 11, if the foundations are destroyed, what are the righteous to do? And today, every other kind of idealism is targeting the foundations of the Christian faith. So we're going through all the doctrines of our faith, and we've studied many. We've come to this area of Almighty God. We've studied the Father, the Son. We've been studying recently the Holy Spirit. We've come to verse 12, realizing that God works in His church by the Holy Spirit and supernaturally by giftings. This verse talks about how God works through our lives and reveals Himself and works among us. And when the Holy Spirit works among us through these gifts supernaturally, it is not for our benefit, it's for others' benefits all the time. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, just look over a few lines, it says, "To each," that's each Christian, "is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." That means God reveals Himself through our life, but it's for everyone else's benefit. So we have said here many times, if you are a Christian and you are not actively involved in ministry, engaging people with the Word, serving people, loving people, using your gifts and talents to bless people, if you not or you're not involved in ministry, you will not see the gifts of the Holy Spirit working through your life, because they are for others' benefits. We're just vessels of those. And how many want to see God work through their life? That's our life. That's what distinguishes us from every other religion and cult is the supernatural that builds lives. Yes, there is supernatural. The supernatural takes place in Satan churches, satanic churches, and in shamanism in that. But those supernatural experiences are from the dark side, some of you younger people, okay? Dark spirits that hold people in bondage to Satan, all right? There is no other belief system or religion but Christianity that has the power of God moving supernaturally to heal lives, restore lives, marriages, families, blessing people than in the body of Christ. For everybody's benefit. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 26 says, and we just read this, that the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, how many believe this is the inspired Word of God? Okay, about half of you here. All right, that's a good number. God tells Paul to contrast and compare the body of Christ with the human body. With the human body. That's what he does here. Okay? And this verse says that God has arranged the members in the church just like he's arranged the members of our body. We could not do much without hands and arms, fingers. We could not stand without toes and heels and things you normally don't think about. You know, how many ever think about their vocal cords? How many have ever seen a vocal cord? Okay? But you know what? Without a vocal cord, you can't talk. That little indispensable part is very significant. Would you agree with me? Okay. Anybody ever stubbed their toe? You know, you never think of a toe till you stub it. And I'll tell you, when one part hurts, the whole body hurts. Every member is key. Every part in the church is as significant as the parts of our body. That's what Paul is drawing here, this comparison. I like what R.C. Sproul says. He says that God chooses the parts. He arranges the church the way he wants. And he stresses unity, not uniformity. We're not all the same, right? If you had someone exactly like you, with exactly the same gifts of you, one of you would probably not be needed. We're all unique. All of us are different. We have different gifts, different abilities. And God arranges them. Do you realize that the church today looks a lot different than the early church did? In fact, today we meet in congregations and they're larger groups of people. But for 3.5 centuries, not until the middle of the 3rd century, did churches begin to build buildings. There were no buildings before then. You know where people met for 300 years after the church was born? In homes. They were all house churches. When the Bible says that this is the letter to the church at Ephesus, there was no mega church in Ephesus. There was no mega church. You know where it went? To all the hundreds of house churches passed around in Ephesus. And each church group who met in homes, some smaller, some larger, God had arranged the parts of the body to accomplish what he wanted to through those groups. And so it is today. There are some great churches in Grand County. We're one of a small part of what God's doing up here. But if you will take a look at what each church is doing, each one in this county that are Christian, that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God incarnate, and stand on God's word, we got about 9 of them up here. Each one is doing something the other ones are not doing. God has a plan for what he does in a community. And we cannot choose the members of the church that God calls us to. How many of you wish you could? But God arranges the parts the way he wants. Like the old saying says, oh, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with some saints we know, now that's a different story. But God arranges the parts of the body. Every person, every Christian has a vital part in the ministry of the church. That's what this is talking about. God has a mission and a task he wants to accomplish. Sometimes we think, what I have is not enough. What can I do? Maybe I'm not significant. Every person is needed. Everybody's good at something. Some say, I'm great at being a couch potato. But you're good at something else too. 1 Corinthians 12:26 teaches us that if one member of the body, one member, is hurting or is absent or is non-functional, the entire body is affected by that. Sometimes we don't think we're that significant and valuable. You are that valuable. If you look at the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 12 and you really understand what this is saying, you can never say, I don't have a part in the body of Christ. That just doesn't happen. You know what I think one of the biggest misconceptions is about church is when people say, I attend church over there. I attend church over there. Now, I know what they're saying when they say that. But if that's the only dimension you have, it is a bad misconception of the church. Wrong conception of the church. Because we attend many things in life. How many have ever attended an athletic event? We attend soccer games. We attend football games. You can attend school board meetings. You can attend PTA meetings. You can attend city council meetings. You can attend different functions in the church. But attending it doesn't mean you are part of the process that those individuals are going through, spending their time, sacrificing their time to coach those kids, to work on those decisions, to present those budgets and everything. You're not part of the process. You're just attending there. You see what I'm saying? Church is not never meant to be something that we attend. It is something that we are. We are the church. Better to say we meet over there rather than I attend there. And people who are just only attend in and out, they never see the gifts of the Holy Spirit working through their life. They never experience that life of God that He's come to bring us. Because God intends to move through our lives for the benefit of the body to accomplish the mission that He gives that church to accomplish. And God has given us a mission to accomplish here that's different than other churches. That's what that class is all about that we teach. And it's developed over the 19 years that my wife and I have been here, and some of you have been here longer than that. Okay? So God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, here, beginning with verse 14, we have insights into two reasons why a church does not function properly. We got it right here. Why do we have church bodies that are dysfunctional? I have a good friend who's a Christian, and dysfunction, the term came up in the 80s and 90s. I never heard of dysfunction before then, but he feels like his family put the dis in function because he says he came from a family that was just totally out of order. What causes a church to not be functional? Well, here's two insights. It has to do with an attitude of individuals. First one we find here in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Or an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. That would not make them any less a part of the body. The attitude is, because I am not doing what I see other people doing, I guess I don't have a place in the body. That's an attitude. It's a mental posturing that causes dysfunction in our lives and in the body of Christ. I just don't fit anywhere. You know, not enough. I really don't have any real good abilities. I can't speak. I don't like to get up in front of people. I can't organize. I get tired easy. You know, so you got to drink coffee during the service. You know, I tell people, the ones who've been coming here long enough, bring large cups of coffee so that because they don't go to sleep. But I can't organize. I can't lead. I just can't see what I can do. That's a dysfunctional attitude. Because that does not make you any less a part of the body of Christ. God does have something for you to do, and you are gifted to do that. There are some people, over the years, many people have come to me and say, they feel like because I'm not in leadership, I don't have a part in the body. Where can I lead? I say, well, right now, we've got all the leadership we need. We've got plenty of places to serve. But they feel like because they're not an eye, visible part of the body, or a head, that they don't have a place in the body. That doesn't make them any less part of the body. You know, one thing I'll say about our elders here, every one of the elders we have in this church came from someplace else, like most of us. How many of you here, let me see your hands, have been imported into Grand County, moved here from someplace else? Okay. How many were born and raised in Grand County? My son Seth. Yeah, see, we're all imports. God has brought, and every one of you have a story. If we had time to listen to the stories of how God got us here and how He arranged this fellowship with certain gifts and talents to come here, we would be astounded. God arranges the parts of the body. Our elders all came from someplace else, and every one of them had positions of leadership in other churches. Elders, one of them was an elder for 19 years. But when each of them came to this fellowship, not one of them said, "Doug, got any place I can lead?" Not one of them. You know what they all said? Every single one. "Where can I serve? Where is a need? Where can I serve?" That shows a good attitude. In fact, Jesus said serving, an attitude of serving is prerequisite to leadership. Jesus said in Luke 16, "If you are not faithful in very little, you will not be faithful in much. And if you cannot be entrusted with something that belongs to another, serving another, who can entrust you with your own?" I like the saying that YWAM has, to be a leader, you have to serve a leader. And if you go to Youth with a Mission, you could have been a pastor of a church for many years. You could have been an elder. You could have been a powerful Bible teacher. But you know how you enter YWAM? You go through a discipleship training school with all the other 18 and 19-year-olds. Everybody goes through this school, and everybody proves themselves there. And you can't come into that organization on the weight of your past. You come in, and you start over serving, and then they identify leadership gifts, and then you move up into leadership. I like that. So gifts, giftings. Not everyone is going to have a visible gift. Most in the body are going to have gifts that you don't see. All right? So you can't say, because I am not a head or an eye or an ear or the hair or whatever, that I don't belong to the body. That doesn't make you any less part of the body. In fact, look with me to verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12:28. This is a marvelous thing. Verse 28 talks about some very powerful supernatural giftings and enablements by God. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. Would you agree with me that that's a high calling? Being an apostle, church planter, has many gifts in that. Second, prophets, high calling. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing. Look at these powerful gifts. What's the next one? Helping. Helping. That's right in the middle here. That is a spiritual gift of helps. To come alongside, to support, and using your talents there. Whatever you're good at, whatever you're able to do. Most of you know this, some of your visitors may not know this, but in the 19 years we've been here, God has blessed us. We've rented for 15 years, and God blessed us with 35 acres here. Then we're able to build this building. We have a policy here never to go in debt, so everything we have we own, and we wait until God provides till we go build something else if He wants us to. If not, He builds His church, we're not, right? And so we've added a little addition over here. Now there's many men in this church who were trying to find their place. They say, "You know, we can't do too much, but I can build." And many of you women, too, have helped build this next addition here. Well, you know what? We are not just building a facility. We are providing an arena for God to work. Just like the Apollo mission, when they checked the plates on a shuttle, the guy who's going just checking the plates, you know that if one plate is loose on a space shuttle, you know what happens? We've seen it happen. The whole mission is destroyed. One loose heat shield plate. Every part is important. When I go into a facility like our addition there, I don't see a building. I see people. I see Awanas, and I see classrooms for the school, and I see youth ministry in there. I'm not looking at that. So every nail, every screw that's put in there is not building a building. It's facilitating the work of God. And a lot of the guys found a place there with their gifts and talents. Everyone is good at something. And I thank God that many in this particular church, most people in this church are involved in some area. But I want to encourage you all the more in that. And there may be some that are coming that maybe have never heard that or realized that before. Everybody has a part to play. A dysfunctional attitude is saying, because I can't do this, I don't belong. No, you do have a place. The second dysfunctional attitude is found in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head, "I have no need of you." See, the eye and the head are the visible parts of our natural body, which would compare with the visible parts of the church, leadership, someone who's noticed, men and women that are noticed, okay, in leadership. Leaders, I believe this is a word for leaders. A leader can never look down on another gift that's invisible and say, I don't need you. You know, I know of some very powerful pastors who are multi-gifted. I know of guys who have an attitude saying, you know what, I can do it better myself. I don't need you, and I don't need you, and I don't need you not doing things when I tell you to do it, and I'm frustrated with you, and so why don't you just get out of my way so I can do it? And this verse says, don't ever do that. We need every person in the body of Christ. And maybe that person is like oil and water with you for a purpose, to mold and shape us. How many know that God has gifted some people in the church to be sandpaper to smooth us out? Somebody's thinking, I'm one. I'm the sandpaper. You know, I had a pastor once, every elders meeting we had, he always seemed to be contrary to the flow for a while. He always had a different perspective no one had thought about. And he was talking to me one day. He says, Doug, I think I found my gifting in the body. I said, what is that? He said, I'm a thorn in the flesh in the body of Christ. I'm the thorn. I said, no, you're not. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Because whatever the eye sees and wants to do, the hand has to accomplish it. The eye can't do much, right? You ever trust your eye to do anything? All it can do is see. It can't move. The rest of the body moves. Leaders in the church, beware. I can do it myself is detrimental to the overall health and proper functioning of God's church. Why? Verse 25. Again, God arranges the members. He's gifted some to have public ministries, some to have private ministries. Some that are totally invisible in the church are some of the most indispensable people, just like the parts of our body. Most of our body is not seen. All the cells, the muscles, the skeletal structure, everything that compiles our body, all the different tissues, totally unseen by us. That's what makes us up. That's how the body functions. And why should we have the right attitude? Verse 25, that there be no division in the body, no divisiveness, but an appreciation of each one. That all the members can have the same care for one another and all be grateful and thankful for each other in the body. So that's how the body of Christ operates. Is that good news? 1 Corinthians 10, go back a couple pages to the left as we move toward communion now, because this verse correlates what we're talking about the body with what we're about to do in celebrating the Lord's Supper. Verse 14 says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Anybody sensible in here? It means people are thinking. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many, there it is, are one body, for we all partake of one bread. That's in this fellowship, and that's in communion with our brothers and sisters, the born-again Christians throughout this world. That's what that says. And so we celebrate what we are celebrating in communion. Is first and foremost the new covenant that we have with Almighty God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who's opened the gateways of heaven for God's people. Praise God for that. His shed blood, the fact that He came to earth, and that we celebrate that covenant. But we also celebrate the fact that God has ordained the body of Christ. And this morning, as we participate in communion, one of the emphasis this day, I feel, because of the Scriptures, is to give God praise. Give Him praise for the talents and gifts He's given you. We didn't come up with that on our own. And give Him praise for the people around you that have been a blessing, and those in this church, and those who have yet to participate. There are gifts in this building right now, in this congregation, that have never been tapped, that are going to enhance the task and the mission that God has for us. Give God praise for that this morning. And one of the other reasons we celebrate, I have one more verse in your notes, and that's out of Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason that I put that there is because some people believe that their rewards, the real rewards that we're going to get, the real inheritance that we're going to enter into, is only in heaven. It's only when we go to heaven that we're going to have these great rewards and inheritance. But the Bible teaches we also have a portion of our eternal inheritance and the life of Christ right here, right now. And where is that? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he prays for the church, and he prays that they would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened. That means God would shine light on reality. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Praise God for the living hope we have in Jesus Christ. But he goes on. And that you might have the eyes of your heart enlightened to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance where? In the saints. In the saints. The inheritance in the saints. That's the body of Christ. People who distance themselves from the body of Christ cut themselves off from a big portion of their inheritance here. All the comfort, all the support, all the opportunities for ministry, all the blessing. Every area of our life, God has given us this inheritance in the saints. What a marvelous God we have. What a joy it is to be a part of His church and His work, right? That's what we're celebrating today. So as we move toward communion this morning, let's have very worshipful, thankful hearts for the salvation we have through Christ and for the life we have because of His Holy Spirit in us here. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you again for our time together, for your presence here, Lord, for the way that you're moving on hearts in ways we can't even begin to comprehend, for the thoughts that you're bringing to each one, for the scriptures, reminding us of these things. Oh God, we thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, as we approach your table, thank you for instituting the Lord's Supper. Thank you, oh God, that we might never forget that we are what we are only by your grace. That we might never forget the power of the shed blood of Christ our Lord and all that you accomplished for us. Thank you for the bread and the cup. Oh God, we give you praise. And thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the blessing so many have been to us and for the opportunities that we have to bless others also. Because we are your living church, Lord, empowered and sustained by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And as we approach communion this morning, we encourage all Christians who love the Lord to participate in communion. If you are not a Christian, and you have never been born again by the Spirit, we encourage you not to participate in communion. The Bible gives us strict warnings. This is a very solemn time, and it's a terrible thing, and it brings God's judgment to take communion and not understand what we're doing, especially you parents with your children, too. Make sure that before our children receive communion, they understand of what it means to be a Christian and the salvation we have through Christ. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, this is a great opportunity for you to give your life to Christ, because it's by no mistake that you are here. And I don't know everybody in this room. And so this may be God's day for you. And as we end this service, we encourage you to either pray with somebody that you came or pray with one of us to seal your commitment to Christ today. This could be the first day of your eternity with Him. So we thank God for that. And Lord, we thank you now for this time. Lord, may your blessing be upon it. May you be pleased with the attitude of our hearts as we honor you in communion this morning as your people. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's maintain an attitude of worship and prayer as our brothers pass out the elements, and we'll hold those elements and participate together this morning, okay? Let's do that. in heaven, we remember the account of the night before our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. That night he was betrayed. And Lord, at the Last Supper, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat of it, all of you. This is my body given for you." And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that this bread represents. Lord, the body of Christ. We thank you that you are the bread of life come down from heaven. And Jesus, you said, anyone who eats of you will never hunger again. Thank you, O God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth, Almighty God incarnate, and taking the form of a servant, and in that form becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you've accomplished. And Lord, we participate in this bread with very grateful hearts before you today for the salvation we have through Christ our Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Let's participate. And on that same night, when he was with his disciples, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And that's what we do today. Thank you for the cup and all that it represents. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us. For without the shedding of blood, your word says, there is no forgiveness of sin. You are the spotless, pure lamb that was slain for us. Oh God, thank you for what you've accomplished. And now as Jesus laid down his life for us, we commit to lay down our lives for one another too. Thank you for this time. In your name, Lord. Amen. Let's participate together. Thank you, Jesus. Great is his name, and greatly to be praised. Praise the Lord. Would you pass your cups down toward the center? And then let's stand and sing this last song and worship to our God.